Hello and welcome back to the Benchwarmers. I'm Sonny and I'm here with...
Gabe, hey buddy.
Hey, so big news, we just got a new TV, very nice.
Yeah. I feel like the setup changes like every couple weeks in here.
There's always something new, some new camera, what, there's six TVs and...
There's seven TVs now.
Wait, one, two, three, four, five.
Seven TVs in this room.
Oh my God.
You know what? Before we go, wasn't this the TV that was making noise last time?
It was.
All right, I'm going to turn it off. I don't hear it, but...
It might be.
I don't want to, like, hear the recording and then be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, there's some animal noises or...
Yeah.
Some... So, yeah, every other week, there's some new lighting feature, camera, something in here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this room. Sonny, we have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
So, all right, let's start off with NFL news because that's probably the quickest that we have. Your boy, Derek Carr.
Derek, I guess he's my boy. Yeah, all right. I'll go with it.
Signs with the Saints for 4 years. Sonny, as soon as this news broke out, I think within the hour, Sonny sent me a post about the odds for the Saints to make the Super Bowl. And, like, you know, in the offseason, a lot of people look at odds for the next year. Like, they just want to get ahead and see what the odds are. The odds for the Saints after signing Derek Carr to 4 years did not go up and did not go down.
It
stayed the same.
So it stayed plus – it was like plus 4,000 right before they signed him, plus 4,000 after they So Derek Carr, four-year contract. Is this an upgrade from Jameis Winston? Nobody knows. It's the same. It's the same exact.
Vegas doesn't think so. They think it's about the same. Like,
I can't really argue with that. I mean, Jameis, what happened to famous Jameis? He got injured last year?
Yeah, he just can't stay healthy, and he just I don't think he's done, but he's probably going to be a backup somewhere, but the Saints, I feel like, were more effective with Taysom Hill than anybody else.
What, he's still on the team, right?
Is it Andy Dalton that they had to go to because
they had Andy Dalton when Drew Brees was still on the team and he cracked all his ribs. That like 7-game span of Teddy Bridgewater, they were like 6-1.
Yeah,
with I get it. That's like 2-3 years ago, but largely similar team. So,
I mean. For the Raiders now, who don't have a quarterback, they're still in the, I guess, Aaron Rodgers
talks
raffle.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to the Jets.
Yeah, it's like we'll talk about that a little bit later. But like, if you're the Raiders, like, go and try to draft a quarterback. Like, what do you do? Like, do you try to get a veteran or somebody like with some years of experience? Like,
I think maybe it was so weird because they're left in a really weird spot because last year they went in. I'm not going to say they went like all out, but they signed that coach for a long term agreement. They signed Chandler Jones and they got Devontae Adams because the year prior they made the playoffs. They almost beat the Bengals in the playoffs. So it would only make sense that they would, you know, add these two big pieces in Chandler Jones and Devontae Adams, and that they would have some shots at making the Super Bowl, but they sucked. I don't know, like, what happened. Josh Jacobs had a big, you know, jump this season. Finishes in number one.
Before last season started, I feel like everybody was not saying the Raiders would win the division, but they were definitely bumping them up.
Yeah,
especially with Devontae Adams on the
everybody
team.
Thought that this, the AFC West, South, something like that. Everybody thought this division would be great because Chiefs are Chiefs. Looked like the Chargers were going to get better. You know, they added Khalil Mack. And then the Broncos added Russell Wilson. Everybody thought they would be good. And then same thing with the Raiders. They got Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones, and they had a great year prior. So I don't know what happened with them. I don't know why. They seem to be a playoff team for sure.
On paper, they should have been a lot better than they were. And I don't know if it's because they got a new head coach, if they just like trying to work in and figure out how this offense is going to work. Clearly, they moved on from Derek Carr. They felt like Derek Carr was not the quarterback they wanted in this kind of an offense. I don't know, like he – Derek Carr through his career has shown moments of like greatness, and he's also shown moments of like, why did you throw that? Like,
ooh, yeah.
Like just bad plays. I actually think he'll do great on the Saints.
Like I think he'll fit.
Compared to Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton, like he can't do worse than those guys. Like the bar, bar is set pretty low.
Yeah.
So if he even does like above average, I think he's going to do good. All right, couple more little things here. There's a bunch of franchise tags. I actually forgot a couple on this list. But since we're talking about the Raiders, I don't know if you saw this one, Sonny. Josh Jacobs was franchise tagged by the Raiders. So okay. He's not going anywhere.
That's good.
They definitely want to hold on to him. Geno Smith is re-signing with the Seahawks to a three-year, $105 million deal. Tony Pollard, or Pollard, whatever.
Pollard,
whatever. He is franchise tagged by the Cowboys. So
Zeke.
Honestly, like for fantasy next year, I think I'm taking Pollard higher than Zeke.
I think that's sort of becoming the consensus, unless something, you know, in the offseason happens. But Danny Dimes, he didn't get – or Saquon got franchise tag. Danny Dimes got an extended 4 years, $160 million.
That is a lot of money for him.
So he's being paid more than Lamar Jackson now, who was franchise tagged by the Ravens. My whole thing with Danny Dimes and the Giants is that they won a playoff game. He looked really good in that one. But obviously, it doesn't look like this Giants team as of right now is getting by the I mean,
they're not beating the Cowboys probably.
Maybe Cowboys kind of suck in the playoffs, but I was really going to say Eagles and Niners. Those are the teams to beat.
Okay, yeah, they're definitely not beating the Eagles.
They're not beating the Eagles, and they're not. I don't think they're going to beat the Niners. So
that's a lot of money to give a quarterback who's only had really one good season.
Yeah,
like
it seemed like they should have. I would have been much happier with, you know, 1 or 2 years because. Can't make it happen next year and maybe not the year after that, then I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the reality for the Giants is like, okay, let's say you don't sign Danny Dimes, then who are you going to get? Like, then you're going to be like the Jets or like the Raiders with who are pretty much looking for a quarterback. The fact that we'll talk about next, I mean, Lamar Jackson was franchise tagged by the Ravens, so they're not letting him go. So yeah. If the Giants didn't keep Danny Dimes, they would either have to go back and draft another quarterback or pretty much just be like try to get like an Andy Dalton kind of guy, a Marcus Mariota kind of guy. Like,
yeah, but,
they would kind
but
of be
Daniel
screwed.
Jones is better than that. But they're the rest of their team and their coach puts them on the level of winning, you know, a playoff game.
Yeah, Daboll.
But I don't know how far you can get with Daniel Jones, so...
Well, we're about to find out in these next couple of years right here.
To finish out NFL news, something even worse than a four-year, $160 million deal, Joe Mixon. So
this man is angry.
I don't know what happened. It's a weird headline. This happened like 12 hours ago, so...
Yeah.
This will be that thing where it becomes really big news. Like, the news story starts right before we record... It'll probably peak on like Friday and Saturday.
Oh, for sure we're getting something else.
And then we'll like kind of forget about it, and then it'll be a week from now on Wednesday, and we'll be like, oh yeah, we gotta talk about the conclusion of that. So Joe Mixon, the headline was Joe Mixon shot a kid with a Nerf gun? Or shot a kid with a gun, but the kid had a Nerf gun. Now the kid, they're not saying, but the kid didn't die. We don't know his injuries.
Yeah, so shots were fired. It says at or near Joe Mixon's house. I don't know what... Like, there's a video out there. It's probably been taken down since then, but it's like Joe Mixon with like other people in the car. Sounds like they're talking about a kid or kids on the street with Nerf guns or something going on. And then all of a sudden, you just like hear gunshots like in the background. So they're shooting at somebody... I think one of these kids gets hit. Doesn't really make sense. I was telling Sonny before the show that there's probably a lot that we're not aware of. Like, I'm sure these kids – I mean, I'm not sure, but, like, these kids could maybe have been, like, messing with him or, like, trying to like get into his face or just do stuff to get him like annoyed or angry.
I mean, I don't know what
I could totally see that happening, but
it's pretty tough to justify this.
Like, I mean, exactly. Like, no matter how much you like, you know, kids are messing with you, like, doesn't really justify you shooting them.
By the way, when we say kid, we don't mean some, you know, 18-year-old, 17-year-old kid. We're talking about like an 11 or 12-year-old.
Yeah, like clearly he's a kid. Like, there's no, like, even if it's dark, it's pretty, there's no mistaking that, like, this is a kid, clearly
a fifth grader.
Yeah, so this is not Joe Mixon's first like issue or run in with the law.
Yeah.
I think it was his girlfriend or some girl he was with at like a
restaurant.
I was about to say Chick-fil-A, but
he did punch his girlfriend in college.
In the face.
Now,
kind of crazy.
Though both terrible, I would say shooting a kid might be a little worse. But
It's just, to me, it's like, okay, Sonny, you are an NFL player. You're under contract. You're making millions a year.
I'm seeing as how he lives in a really nice house, as you could imagine.
I don't understand, like, the need to, like, do this. Like,
because he – yeah.
Like, it's just so – like, how did he get from, like, zero to this? Like, how was this even an option?
I don't know. And like, I'm guessing – okay. My guess is that I'm willing to bet that he didn't see an 11-year-old kid went, get off my property, and pulled the gun on him. Like, I don't think it's that. I think there's some sort of
trying to scare him a little bit.
I don't think that's what happened. I don't think there's some – the crime scene tape was taken down around 3:20 a.m. Okay, so this something happened at 3 in the morning. So
like, what is going on at 3 in the morning?
I'm willing to bet – that there was some misunderstanding, and you can say, you know, 11-year-old, and I get it. 11-year-old is obviously not some 18-year-old guy, but I mean, if there is somebody on your property or something going on at your house, some people outside at 3 in the morning, then yeah, maybe you get the gun out.
See, the thing is, though, the video that I saw, he was shooting from the car. Like, they were in the street.
Oh.
And so, like, it...
Well, what are you doing out at 3 in the morning?
See, that's the thing. I'm like, okay, so he's probably under some kind of, like, drug or alcohol. He's probably, like... I mean, this is, like, you know, 3 a.m. activities. It's like, nothing good happens, like, after midnight. That's what a lot of people say. And it's like, well, he probably was up to no good.
Yeah.
Probably just messing around. I don't know why he has a gun on him. Like, if you're a big, like, you know, athlete or star on your team, it's funny because this kind of ties into our next person we're going to talk about, but, like, why even have a gun on, like, anywhere around you?
I mean, I get, like, owning a gun.
Right, right.
Legally,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you know.
But I'm saying, like, you're one of these, like, big athletes or just – there's a lot of eyes and, like, you know, attention on you at all times. Why even put yourself in that position? Like, it's just so dumb. Like, or like, why even like risk doing this just to like scare somebody or like, I don't know. I just feel like there's 100 steps I would have taken before I would have like got to this
shot
step.
A kid. Yeah.
Like and to his defense, I'm not going to defend him too much because he doesn't seem like a great dude.
16 year old kid.
Okay.
That's a bit of a, I mean,
still it's like,
yeah, but being 16 myself, I know a lot of 16-year-old kids that if you saw them in the dark and they had like a hood up or something, they could easily be like a 6'2",
like grown man.
Like, yeah.
But here's the thing though. Why is he shooting anybody? Like, it doesn't really matter if he's a kid or not.
I don't
like,
get the thing in the car, him being in the car. I'm seeing pictures of like a car console. I can't find the video, but
yeah, I think it got taken down pretty quick. But
that's him being in the car really throws me off. I get it. If he was in his house sleeping, he hears something going on in front of his house or in his backyard or something at 3 a.m. and he sees a figure walking around with a Nerf gun that maybe could be, you know, in the dark can be seen as a real gun, then yeah, this would be a totally different story. But I don't get him being in the car. I don't know. Well,
it doesn't look good.
I don't get it.
No matter how you kind of position it. And I don't know. I just don't understand why he was out at 3 in the morning.
This ties in to another subject with another NBA player, and his name is Ja Morant.
Oh, man. This guy is like, okay, moving on from Joe Mixon, like Ja Morant is like
worse.
He's worse, I think, than Joe. I don't want to say worse, but like
we don't know anything really about the Joe Mixon case,
yeah.
So it's hard to say okay, the story with Ja Morant, it's been building for a while.
Go back to
the first stuff
he did, because this has like been going.
Ja Morant, star point guard for the Grizzlies, very very good. It's been boiling for a couple of weeks now. I'd say like beginning of February.
Maybe a month now.
Yeah.
About a month.
About a month. He's been talking. He's been in the league now for like 2-3 years. And we haven't really seen this from him before. So I don't know what happened. But he's been acting very like hood. And like he's in a gang or something like that. So, you know, he's his celebrations at the NBA, like when he's in games and stuff, is like shooting people. And he's sending out tweets how he's like, you know, from the hood and all that.
He's trying to front that he's like this tough guy, basically.
But then, you know, a couple weeks ago, Shannon Sharp called him out on it. And, you know, a couple of things came out. Ja Morant, you know, I don't think he grew up wealthy, but he didn't exactly grow up in the hood. So, let's see. He went to Crestwood High School. So he didn't grow up like in Compton or anything, or not, you know, in the hood. He is putting on a front all of a sudden. Shannon Sharp calls him out on it, and then maybe that employed him to double down on it, because then, you know, all this stuff of him trying to act hood and he's sending out tweets and stuff. And by the way, there's a lot of NBA, NFL players that are really from the hood.
Yeah.
Like DeMar DeRozan grew up in Compton. I read a whole thing on him. But there's a lot, believe it or not, you know, Juju, the TikTok boy, he's from the hood. And he doesn't, you know, do all that. He does cool little TikTok dances. So, you know, well, not cool, but, you know. So anyway, Ja Morant, people have been calling him out for a couple of weeks now. Most notably Shan Sharp. Then, about a week or two ago, no video or conviction or anything, but a story comes out where he was playing a pickup game against a 17-year-old kid, in that he punched him like 12 times, and then he flashed a gun. So, I don't know, you know, what the story, I mean.
There is video, though, of the gun being flashed.
That's in a separate thing.
Is that a different thing?
That's a different thing. So,
oh my God.
So he allegedly punched this kid 12, 13 times. I'm saying allegedly because, you know, he is very rich. Maybe he got, you know, you're playing a pickup game and he like gives you a shove or something like that, and you can say he assaulted you.
Yeah.
Now you sue him for $30 million or something like that. Mm. You don't know, but
he probably got paid off. Like, hey, just sign this.
Yeah, like here's 500 grand. Don't
just leave me alone.
Yeah. I don't know, something. But so that's kind of becomes a big thing. He beat up a kid, flashed a gun, you know, talking about how he's hood. Then like 5 days ago, I woke up in the morning to see that on Instagram Live at like 2 a.m., he was on Instagram Live in a club and he was flashing a gun. Like not a story, like this is like him on social media partying and flashing a gun.
Yeah. It's not like a video where somebody like got video of him doing this. It's like he did this.
It's him like exposing himself. So
stupid. This is so bad.
So then all of a sudden NBA is like, whoa, we have a big thing. You know, this video wasn't taken in Memphis. He's in Colorado. He's on the Memphis Grizzlies. So does that mean he traveled with the gun on the team plane? The NBA's got that's a big no-no. So they're like, well, okay, the Colorado police are now doing an investigation.
Especially with the team.
Yeah, this could be a 50-plus game suspension. So the police are like, no hard evidence, so we can't convict him. I think, you know, the NBA, since there's no like official thing on it, they can't convict him of this.
They still could suspend him.
They could still. It was something like John Morant's like taking two games away, which I think the team and him were sort of just like, hey, like let's figure this out.
Yeah, like, let's like not have you play like while we discuss this.
So,
like, why is he doing this? Like, I'm trying to like get into like his brain. Like, why would he do this?
I think he's putting on a show like this for the past couple of years and nobody cared, or I don't know. Maybe he was, but what happened was over a month ago at the Lakers and Grizzlies game, Shannon Sharp was sitting courtside.
I remember this, yeah.
The Grizzlies got into it with the Lakers and Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp was you know, talking trash. And so then a week later after this, so now it's known that Shannon Sharp and the Grizzlies, which means Ja Morant to at least some extent, have some sort of beef. Shannon Sharp, a week after this, after they get in a little scuffle, calls out Ja Morant for, you know, being fake and putting up a front. I think with that, Ja Morant's pride was hurt or something like that. Because Shannon Sharp is no, you know, Skip Bayless. Or he's no Kendrick Perkins. Like, guys that you can take their word. They're not like... I would say Shannon Sharp is one of the most reliable and sort of like well-trusted, like, sports commentary figures. Wouldn't you say? Like, a lot of the things he says, very, like, right. Like, I think he's
not like... I mean, I feel like a lot of broadcasters and like sports personalities kind of do this, but they like kind of stretch the truth a little bit, or they'll kind of like put stuff into a light that like shows their side of like being right. But I feel like Shannon Sharp, he doesn't do it as much as other guys, and most of his points are pretty backed by like actual facts.
Yeah.
Like his actual takes on stuff are not that as crazy as like Skip Bayless is like, sometimes I think he's like delusional, just like, I think he just says stuff to like get people, like, he knows it's not, he doesn't believe what he's saying, but he's doing it for like ratings.
Yeah.
Like, he's just trying to get people like annoyed or fired up at him to get like some kind of reaction and ratings to go up. Whereas Shannon Sharp is like, I feel like he's a little more down to earth a little bit.
Yeah. So the point of this is that it's not some average Joe calling him out. And it's somebody he's got beef with too. So having beef with this guy and having a very respectable, you know, trustworthy name and word, I think Ja Morant was sort of challenged, or his pride or ego was hurt by Shannon Sharp calling him out. And Shannon Sharp's from the hood, or like from, you know, poverty. So he's got some grounds to call him out on it.
And Shannon Sharp was also an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the NFL.
Hall of Fame athlete.
Hall of Fame. So his opinion has a little bit more weight than, like, I would say, like, a Skip Bayless or, like, any of these other guys who maybe were not in the league, or, you know, they only do commentating. They were never actual, like, athletes in a pro league. Like,
yeah, like Joe Buck.
Exactly. Like, Joe Buck, I mean, I'm sure he played a bunch of sports, but he's not like Troy Aikman. Like, Troy Aikman's opinion, I'd probably have, you know, it's more weighted than Joe Buck, obviously.
Because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right. So, like, when Shannon Sharp says something, like, people listen. Like, people don't think it's, like, fluff or, like, him just trying to get ratings. Like, it's him, like, speaking truth.
Telling it how it is.
Yeah.
So, I think because of this, again, Ja Morant, his ego is hurt or something. So, he doubled down. Now he's flashing a gun to that kid. He goes on social media and he flashes a gun. And now I'm sure he's talking with his PR and his lawyers, and they're talking about the next course of action, what to do. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be something new.
Kind of tied to that, there was a lot of stuff with Ja Morant, like his celebration when he hits a three or something.
Yeah, he does.
He's like pointing a gun and stuff.
The guns, yeah.
I'm like, probably not the best celebration.
Yeah. That was we talked about this last week. Remember Brandon Miller from Alabama, the guy that like gave a gun to somebody?
Yeah.
That the craziest one he was coming out of the tunnel. You know, they always come out of the tunnel and they do the handshake with their teammates and they go on the court.
Yeah.
The handshake he did, his teammate patted him down for weapons. That's the craziest. That's the craziest one.
So they actually think he might have a weapon on.
No. Like that was like they were doing it like jokingly.
Oh,
like that
okay.
was like his handshake was like his teammate patting him down, going like all good or something, and then he goes on the court. That was nuts. After he gave a gun to somebody that was used to kill someone, that's a crazy, crazy celebration.
Oh my gosh! So
or handshake.
Ja Morant's contract is for $200 million. He has a Nike shoe deal and a Powerade deal.
Oh my god!
It's like, dude, do you know how much money he's getting just in like spot like deals with all these different companies on top of his salary? Like
he is altogether making like $250 million over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and it's like all you got to do is just play basketball and like not get into any legal trouble.
Yeah, and by the way, don't you want to be a great basketball player? Like you're young, you're entering your prime. Like you could win MVP at some point, or you could go the NBA final. Like the Grizzlies are really good. Don't you want to focus on that?
See, to me, it's like he's doing all this stuff to show that he's tough. But it's like, dude, if you would just play great, people would think, or just be serious about your career and like block out all these like weird distractions, like, and just focus on your game, people would take you seriously. People would respect you. I think
this is why. I really think this, and I'm not a tremendous LeBron fan, but I think a lot of young players need to look to LeBron for this.
Wow.
LeBron grew up in
thought I'd hear you say that.
I know, but I commend him for never having any scandal or
this crap.
Not even like cheating on his wife or any of that. I think, and he grew up the single mother. In Ohio. Yuck.
Shout out to our Ohio fans.
I can say that. My mom grew up in Ohio. She's the biggest Ohio hater. So he grew up in the hood in Ohio. Terrible. Ugh. And he came out. He had this immense pressure on him. Never went to college. I mean, his expectations going into the NBA was like to be the greatest player of all time. He might be. I don't think he is, but he's up there. So
for this generation, he might be.
This generation, he's the best, but yeah. Is he better than Jordan? I don't know. That's a discussion for another day. That might be like our last episode.
Yeah.
Like the ultimate Jordan LeBron debate. We'll get into it, but I'm saying he's never had any of this. He never says he's gangster and all this. And people say he's cringe, but he's kind of the gold standard. Don't you want to have like Taco Tuesday with your son and like start a school with foundations and all that? Like give grants to like underprivileged kids. Like look to him.
Yeah. And like, okay, as cringy as LeBron can be sometimes, I think I'd rather be cringy than like this. Like just trying to like intimidate people or like calling out sports broadcasters or former athletes. Like what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's just so like.
Don't like
he likes the drama though. That's why he's doing like he clearly likes this drama.
I guess, but just look to the greatest. Go to LeBron. Look at what he does. Follow his example. You're a young athlete.
He turned into like a businessman now.
Yeah,
like he's got it. Like he's pretty much set for all these deals and stuff.
I'm
after
saying
he
like
retires.
Every young athlete going into the league, but especially somebody who's in their third year and is considered like a top player in the league, third, fourth year, whatever, and he's like one of the best in the league.
Like he is the future of like the if he like stays the path.
Yeah. Look to the gold standard. Never had a scandal. Never had anything like that. And he's doing just fine. Don't you want to like stay out of that drama? Like I wouldn't want to be in his spot where I'm like putting up a front and then now nobody on the internet is like, oh, I think Jaws, you know, really cool. Everybody's just making memes and crapping on him. Like there's nobody that thinks he's cool. Everybody lost the respect for him. Just leave it. Just play. And I bet you if he dropped it now and he played really well and the Grizzlies did well in the playoffs like they did last year. People would forget about it by June.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, swallow your pride. Go back to playing basketball. Make your millions of dollars go off into the sunset.
The thing is, like, he doesn't really have anything to prove, like, as far as, like, being a thug or whatever he's trying to do. Like, he doesn't need to prove it, but, like, some part of him clearly thinks he does need to prove this. Like, he's being called out as, like, somebody soft or, like, I guess someone that's not hood. But it's like, dude, like, you're a professional athlete. Like,
that only ever happened after he started doing this. Nobody ever called him soft before he or fake or anything like that or, you know, like, rich boy growing up, even though he wasn't. But, like, before he did all this.
I mean, he came from, like, not, like, maybe rich, but he definitely came from, like, a good family, good neighborhood, good, yeah, like, good upbringing from, yeah, what,
like,
we can tell.
Like, normal middle class, like.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe people are calling him out for that, like saying, like, oh, you didn't have it hard.
Maybe in the NBA, maybe.
But it's like, who cares? Like, you made it to the NBA.
Isn't that the goal?
It's like, what are you talking, like, all, like, what are, like, we talking about?
Just listen to every rapper that came out of the hood. They're all like, yeah, I made it out.
It's funny because, like, rappers want to be professional basketball players, and professional basketball players want to be rappers.
Oh, my God.
It's like, it's weird.
It is kind of crazy.
And, like, everybody else just wants to be either.
Just look, like, he needs to look at everybody else that made it out. All of them, like, look at, I don't know if Shaq grew up in the hood or anything, but, like, I've heard him, like, oh, I signed my NBA contract and I bought my mom a Benz.
Yeah.
Do that. Buy your mom a Mercedes.
Look at Shaq's career, like, great Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
He has, like, sports broadcast money that he has coming in.
Well, all this Shaq stuff is, like, the jack of all trades.
I mean, like, there's, like, a laundry list of, like, businesses and restaurants that he owns. Like,
did I show you over the summer? I went back to school shopping at, like, Staples, and I saw.
Was he there?
Oh, my God. I saw, like, 8 different Shaq, like, posters.
Oh, yeah.
Or things for different companies at a Staples. It is, like, Shaq printers, Shaq chairs, Shaq folders, different companies. What does Shaquille O'Neal have to do with a printer?
Well, see, that's the thing, is, like, when you run this line of, like, you know, when people respect you,
yeah,
you had a great career, companies and brands want to associate themselves with you. So, like,
yeah,
stuff that he has probably no interest in or, like, very little interest in, like, all these companies are giving him boatloads of money just so they could, like, put his picture or his name on top of their product or their promotion or whatever. Like, I feel like he does, like, a bunch of insurance ones, like, I don't know. He does Papa John's.
Yeah,
he's got, like,
let's see.
I mean, there's, like, a ton of restaurants that he owns.
I'm seeing
he's killing it.
He owns a bunch of Five Guys.
Yeah.
You said Papa John's.
That's, like, one of his biggest ones. He's got, like, a bunch of shoe deals.
24 Hour Fitness, Krispy Kreme, Auntie Annie's, car, like, washes.
All these successful things. He's just, like, everything he's a part of is, like, successful.
Like, Shaq watches, Shaq.
Oh, he got
energy.
He got his doctorate.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
He's,
like,
on Fruity Pebbles. Be like Shaq. Shaq does everything. He's a DJ. He's a doctor. He's a personality, really. Now,
see, this is, like, what I think. Shaq actually called him out for this. Like,
I'm sure,
like, John Morant, but, like, it's like that is, like, the goal, like the LeBron Jameses or, like, any of these guys that are retired that are, like, now, like, look at Tom Brady. He finally is retiring, or so we think, and he has a deal lined up for Fox to commentate on sports. He has all these, like, endorsements, all these, like, companies that want to be a part of him and, like, you know, promote their thing with him, with his name. It's like that should be the goal, is, like, have this great career and be so good at what you do that when you retire, you have, like, even more money, more things, like, waiting for you.
Yeah.
Like, the way you don't get there is doing what he's doing right now. That's how you don't get to that.
That's
that
what
happy,
I'm saying.
Like, you know, that green pasture with all these, like, deals and all these, like, I mean, look at Shaq and, like, any of these retired players, like, especially, like, Barkley or any of these guys that do commentating. Like, do you think they love their life? I think they love their lives. Like, even in retirement, they're not playing the game. They're watching the game.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty happy.
Be like Richard Jefferson. You know, just like.
I don't know.
It's just ridiculous what he's doing. And a new story is going to come out. I know.
Oh,
it.
For sure.
Something's, like, going to happen.
I mean, this is just breaking, like, a few days ago. So I'm sure we're going to hear. We'll probably have a big update.
And
next
this
week
has been
this.
Building. This is not out of nowhere. Like, this has been a thing. You know,
he's on thin ice. And I think if he does anything else, it's going to result in, like, a big suspension.
Yeah.
Because I think from all of this, like, there's no charges being pressed, but he's probably going to miss a few games.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about John Jones real quick.
Yeah. This was a – I mean, the fight itself wasn't very long, but the fights leading up to it,
those were all great good. Fights. Yeah.
Really quick, I got to just shout it out. The Grasso fight.
Yeah.
That was great.
Who was the champ? What's her name? She was minus 850 to win.
So just for fun, I bet on Grasso just because she's a Mexican fighter. Mm-hmm. I'm Mexican. So I was like, you know what? I know it was like stupid odds.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I think it was like she was like plus 650 or something.
Oh
like
God.
It was like
stupid. How much you bet?
I just did $10. I'm like, you know what? $10.
Yeah.
I want it. I mean, I was watching the fight in my house and I was like, all right. Like I was watching. I'm like, okay, she looks pretty good. She's not getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And then when the fight was ending, like the fact that I can't even say her opponent's name. It's like Shevchenko. Valentina Shevchenko. So gave her backup for like, I'm not even kidding, like a second or two max.
That's how you
like against the fence, and Grasso just like almost like a little monkey just kind of like got up there and just like, all right, done.
That's how it. I mean, yeah, that's how it goes.
And I think after when she was talking to Joe Rogan, she was saying that like she knew that Valentina does a lot of these like spin moves.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like her like little window to like get her back and like submit her.
Yeah.
So like just the fact that she was practicing to like time her stuff right when she was like turned around, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you get them. So I guess now let's talk about John. John Jones hadn't fought since February of 2020 till March of 2023. And
a month before COVID.
Yeah. He normally fought at a light heavyweight, so 205 and a little under. But then he beefed up to 250 pounds. Johnny Bones Jones, Johnny Bulls Jones is what I said because he looked fat. But he was still very nimble. Like, I mean, I don't know. The fight lasted 2 minutes. Though he fought Cyril Gane, who is now, 12-2?
Yeah, or no, 11-2.
11-2. Yeah. He's got a good resume. I guess his only losses are Ngannou and John Jones, which are like kind of the two biggest fishes in the MMA right now. But yeah, John Jones came back. He got kicked in the nuts. I don't know why I thought that was so funny in the moment, but he did. They give him like a 30-second, like just standing there. And then they go and they fight and Cyril Gane overcommitted on a punch, and then John Jones sort of just went in, got him on the ground, and then I saw him. He kept trying to choke him out, but Gane had his chin down.
Yeah.
And then he released his arm. It's hard to see. They showed in slow motion. He releases his arm. He gets his other fist like kind of right under his chin, and he just punches him in the bottom of the chin, and his head goes up for a second, and he just slid his arm under, and then he tapped in like 2 minutes and he won. Now he's UFC, you know, heavyweight champion.
Trying to pull it up really quick.
I saw some. Jones is like 17 titles and, or no, he's got what? He's got seven. He's got 15 titles and the rest of all of UFC has like 15 or 17 total. Like he's got,
this is it right here.
He's got just less or just about as many titles as like the rest of the UFC world.
He basically guillotined him like into submission.
Yeah. They keep zooming in so they don't get copyright, so it's a little hard to see. But
like it was so fast. It didn't even feel like he had him for like that long.
Yeah. So of course Joe Rogan goes up.
Oh my God, the post interview for this?
Yeah. Do you know John Jones and Chandler Jones are brothers?
I did not know that.
They are. Chandler Jones and he's got another brother that used to be in the NFL who's huge, was also in the ring or in the octagon after. So, of course, Joe Rogan, you know, halfway into the interview instigates something. He's like, what about you fight Stipe? Stipe, what's his name? Stipe Miocic, who is... What, he's 40 now, but he's willing to come back, so it looks like we're going to get a John Jones versus Stipe in July during fight week, which would be, I think, is a really good fight. Stipe is really good. I think he lost in Ngannou and won, beat him in the first fight. So, yeah, Stipe's sort of considered like the heavyweight GOAT or best right now.
I mean, do you think it's going to happen?
I think it'll happen because he said, you know, want to see me beat up Stipe? And they showed him in the audience, and he looked like he was ready to get back in the octagon. I really hope so. I think that'd be a great fight. But then, so I remember Francis Ngannou he wanted too much of a deal, and, you know, now he's holding out. He's not fighting. Francis Ngannou, so he, when John Jones was supposed to come back a couple months ago, everybody wanted Ngannou versus Jones.
We still might get that fight.
We might. And then, you know, Ngannou wants too much money or something. They're not going to do it.
They're going to figure it out.
Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
After the fight, Francis Ngannou tweets, good job, Johnny Boy. Sincerely, the heavyweight king. And then in the post interview, John Jones called him out again, saying, so
okay.
Maybe he fights Stipe in July. Maybe he fights an Ngannou.
Come on, let's get the Ngannou fight.
Yeah,
let's
that's what we want to see. Although we might need to see Stipe quickly because Stipe's 40.
Okay, so Stipe, this might be his like exit fight from the UFC. He just wants to have one big like hurrah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get that maybe this year, and then maybe early next year we get the Ngannou
maybe
fight?
I mean July. Okay. We could see it like in November, December.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
But
a year from now we could be seeing Jones and Ngannou or something like that.
Be a great fight.
That would be great.
All right. I think that's all the other stuff we got. We're going to move on to March Madness. So we're in the midst of the conference championship like tournaments. Conference tournaments going on right now. I think this Saturday is like when some of them are, and Sunday is when
So I think it really gets into full swing tomorrow. A lot of the bigger, the more major tournaments started today. Like some of them are already wrapped up, like the ASUN and all that, like all the random ones.
The big ones still have a few games left.
Big ones largely started today. West Coast Conference, Gonzaga, St. Mary. Gonzaga won. St. Mary got second, even though Gonzaga whooped St. Mary. But most of the major ones start. SEC started today. Big Ten started today. Pac-12. The Big 12. The major ones started today. But that means since a lot of the best teams get a bye, and even in the ACC, like a double bye, a lot of, like, they started, but a lot of the minor teams are playing, and then they'll get up, and, you know, Minnesota versus Nebraska is going on, but the winner of that just gets whooped by Michigan or something like that. So Big East started today. So tomorrow's when it really gets into full swing, because that's when the best teams are playing. So
do you want to go through like some schools that we think, because it's kind of early, like we don't know officially who is in the big tournament right now, but
yeah,
there are a couple top seeds that we can kind of guess are already going to get in.
Yeah, we kind of got like who's getting in, mostly like the top seeds, but like we don't know like where they'll be seated. So I mean, obviously, did you see the Houston and Memphis game?
I saw just like the highlights of that one, but
Houston 29-2. They are not in a very strong division. You know what? Gosh, what is their division? The American. Memphis is also really good. After that, it's kind of Tulane, Cincinnati. But Houston's really good. They were pretty good last year and the year before, but this year, you know, they have them ranked at number one. I mean, they got the best record and a pretty good strength of schedule. They did lose to Alabama at the beginning of the season, but Houston could definitely win it. UCLA right now is a one seed.
Yeah.
In the West, too, so they'll be playing in Vegas and Sacramento.
God, I would love to go to like one of these games.
They might get some little bit of home court advantage, because if you're having a game in Sacramento and you're playing Auburn in the second round,
oh yeah,
you know, a little closer to home. Teams that I like, Kentucky sort of to be like a fifth seed. They started the season slow with injuries and all that, and then they're finally sort of putting it together. I liked Tennessee a lot of the season, but the issue with them is, well, first of all, they have a great defense, but their offense is really slow. They have a really good shooter. God, he's got a really long...
For which team?
Tennessee. So, he's got a long name. And then they had a point guard, something Ziegler. And he's really short, but he's really scrappy. He's a good defender for someone that small. And he sort of runs their offense. Though their offense isn't good, he's probably their best offensive player. He's injured. I don't know how – we don't really know how long his injury is. But that could be really big because they could be like a fourth seed or a three seed even, Tennessee, just because it's based off like how well they did this season. But they're missing their best player. So
they might be limping into the tournament then.
Yeah, so that's something to look out for. God, what's his name? I'm just looking forward to look up his injury, but I'm just looking at like the bracketology right now, like where it would place him. Looking around for Tennessee, I bet you they're like a 3 or 4, maybe even a 2, but that's pushing it a little.
One of the teams I'm looking at, I kind of said it last show, but TCU.
Yeah,
they're good. Right now they're a 6 seed. If the tournament were to start today, but I mean that could change. I mean I've kind of been watching them all throughout the last couple months, and they've had a lot of really close games against a lot of big schools. They're just like one team that I don't know. I feel like they're always kind of in the mix.
Yeah,
and I feel like they've got like I don't want to say they're like my Cinderella story for this this tournament for this year, but they're definitely. Like, I'm definitely going to bet on some of their games. I just think I personally think a lot of people are kind of sleeping on them a little bit.
Yeah.
Another team that I'm kind of eyeballing here, a little higher up. I mean, obviously, I'm gonna bet on UCLA because I love UCLA. But
they're a one seed right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like I almost wish they weren't because like the lines are going to be so messed up for them. Like it's going to be minus 200, 300 on a lot of these games, which sucks. Because like
yeah.
when they what is it, a year or two ago. When they were like they won the play-in game and like they were
an 11 seed.
They were like an underdog for every single game. It was like plus money on all of those games. So kind of sucks we don't get that. But let's see. The Gonzaga.
They whooped St. Mary last night.
Yeah, it was 70-something to 51.
That doesn't tell the whole story. They were up by like 37.
Oh, okay, so they let them back in a little bit.
Yeah, with like 3 minutes left.
Like, Sonny was texting me last night about it, and like I put it on, and I'm like, okay. Like, yeah. Gonzaga's, like, they're just clowning on them. Like, it was not close.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, so Zakai Ziegler, the best player,
Zakai Ziegler.
Yeah, what
say
a name.
That, say that 10 times fast.
So he's the best player on Tennessee. And Tennessee right now is a 3 seed. And they're missing their best player, so just keep that in mind
okay.
when you're picking your bracket. Because that's really bad.
Have they won any games without him?
I think he just got injured.
Oh, God. So this is like...
I mean, they might beat the 14 seed, or they, you know, depending... They might do really bad in the SEC tournament. So they might drop, and they'll probably have to be like a 6 seed or something like that. God, that sucks. They were a really good team. But I just don't trust them with that injury.
Yeah.
So they... maybe not a first-round exit, but... Oh, it's unfortunate, but I like one team that I've been keeping my eye on that I brought out. I brought up last week was UConn. They started the season really well. They dipped. Now you know we'll see with the Big East tournament. They play Providence tomorrow, which sucks because I like Providence a lot too. We'll see how they do. You know, just a team to keep your eye on. I think look out for Indiana. And we'll see how they do in the Big Ten tournament. Indiana has got a pretty good guard, but they've got – ooh, he's got three names. Trace Jackson Davis, right? Trace Jackson Davis. He's a big man on Indiana, and I think he's one of the top five players I've seen this year. I don't think he's better than Zach Edey, so he's going to win. He's not going to win Big Ten Player of the Year just because, like, Player of the Year is probably in his division. But look out for Indiana because he's really good. I think this team could.
They also beat Michigan in overtime.
Yeah.
So
they beat Purdue earlier. Also with Purdue, Purdue's probably going to be a one seed. Oh, wow. A two seed right now, actually. But Purdue has lost the last four of their eight games.
Ooh.
They're like 25-5 or something like that. So they started the season like super, super dominant. Yeah, they're 26-5, and they have lost, they beat Illinois, they beat Wisconsin, they lost to Indiana, beat Ohio State, lost to Maryland, lost to Northwestern, lost to Iowa, or beat Iowa, lost to Indiana. So four of their last eight, and then the last time they lost to Rutgers like early in the season. So
they kind of, so because of on a like up and down kind of trajectory, that allowed UCLA to pretty much, like, if we're to start today, UCLA would be the one seed, and they would stay in the two.
So it did allow them to move up, yeah.
So unless Purdue can, like, figure it out in these last few games before March Madness, like, they might be a two seed.
Yeah.
They should be a one seed.
My rule of thumb, you know, when picking Purdue, and I really do think they could go far. Early in the season, like, I would maybe pick them to win it. Maybe not anymore, just because it seems like teams. It's like that thing with Lamar Jackson. He had his MVP season. The next season, he comes back not as good because I think people sort of figured him out. It might be that where, like, how do you really guard this guy? He's 7'5 and skilled. Like, he's not just really tall, but so maybe teams figured him out. I think if Purdue was ever playing a team and if they don't have, like, a prominent good big man, I would just take Purdue to win.
That's just straight up.
It really does seem lazy, but. How is a team, like, I get it if he's playing, like, Kentucky or something, and he has to go against, like, Oscar Tshiebwe or some really good center. But if he's playing, you know, as it is right now, if Duke wins in the first round, Purdue wins in the first round, I think Duke will move up in the rankings. But if they both win, you know, does Duke have a good enough big man to beat Purdue or to beat Zach Edey? I don't think so. But if they're playing, like, Gonzaga, you know, he's got to go against Drew Timmy, even though, you know, Purdue beat Gonzaga early in the season. I would still put some more thought into it because, you know, another really good big man. But if they're playing a team that's good, but they don't have a good big man, just go Purdue, honestly.
Gotcha. Any of the teams here, like, lower on this seed list that you think may have a chance to, like, I'm not saying, like, win the whole tournament, but just, like,
yeah,
they might upset,
okay,
like, a high seed.
All right. I still like Memphis, honestly. I think they'll make it in at some point. They got a really good scorer, Kendrick Davis, I think is his name. He's really good. Let's see. I'm looking at a really low seed, Colgate. There are 15 seeds, it says here, but I think that ought to move up because they just won their conference tournament today. Colgate is a really good scoring team. If Colgate's a 14 seed against a 3 seed that you really don't like, you know, then maybe you pick Colgate. Let's see. Just looking down, looking for random teams. Michigan State, a 6 seed. They're pretty good. They got 3. I mean, any team to make a Cinderella run at like a 6 or 7 seed. Michigan State's one of them, and I think Duke could make it far if they get favorable matchups. But Michigan State, they got Tom Izzo, great coach, renowned coach. They got, oh God, what's his name? Hogart on their team, really good, very good guard. They got Tyson Walker, that's who he is. Yeah, he's really good. They got two really good guards. I think they got another. Somebody else, I can't find him. But two really good guards. They got solid big men and a great coach. You know, 6 seed, I think that they can make it. Let's see. Anybody else? I mean, with that question for a while, it had been, you know, Kentucky. But now they've moved up so much that they're not. I can't really. Also, Oral Roberts. Remember them?
Yeah.
They're really good. Now they're a 12 seed. you know, 12 over a 5 is not unheard of. So go look out for that.
A little higher up in the projected seedings list, but I mean, West Virginia is like one school that I'm kind of looking at. I've only recently watched just a few of their most recent games.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, not surprising me, but they are definitely like
– they're looking good.
They're looking pretty good, and it's like this is when you want to start looking good is like right before like the actual tournament starts. So
yeah,
they look good. I mean, obviously Providence is – they're like what, a projected 8 seed right now.
Yeah.
I think they should be a little bit higher than that, just how they've been playing. But
Providence is a 10 seed. Now, I think, unfortunately, Providence might stay a little low because they're in such a competitive Big East. And because of their conference record, they're going to have to play UConn in the first round.
Yeah.
So if they lose that, they might stay low. But if they're playing a 7 seed that you're iffy about, then, you know, Providence can pull off the upset. I mean, right now it has them playing Northwestern, but that might change. I like Northwestern, unfortunately. Illinois is a good, pretty solid team. They're at the 8-9. Picking the 8-9 is not all that important because they typically, you know, if they play Alabama. But who knows? They could upset.
How do you feel about USC this year?
USC...
they're a little down.
They are a little down. They got... what's his name? Ellis. He's really good. He's their guard. They got the other white guy on their team, like number 13 or something like that. He's a good shooter. They're a pretty solid team. I'll need to see how they do in the Pac-12. I don't think they're going to be moving up at all.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much like in the eight or nine or ten spot right there.
The thing with the Pac-12, I mean, they have to really do well in that tournament. The Pac-12 is like super top heavy. Like they're like a pretty solid, okay division, and then they got Arizona and UCLA, a 2 and 1 seed.
So. Arizona is so good. Like
they're really good.
And I don't even know if we're on this list, but ASU.
ASU is pretty – they're pretty solid. They did pull off the upset buzzer beater, you know, half-court shot on Arizona just recently.
This list that I'm looking at has them being one of the first four teams out, but
– ASU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they have a shot. They definitely have a shot. I wouldn't, like, just rule them out.
But, yeah.
But definitely Arizona,
mm-hmm.
they are, like –
they're elite.
They are really good.
It's crazy to imagine how good they were last year. They did lose to Houston, I think. But I mean, this team, and they had Koloko, that big man, and Tyrese Mathrin. He's on the Pacers now. He's really good. So they were so stacked last year.
They have a good program. That's why they're still churning out.
And they got Umar Ballo, who's a huge big man. So yeah, watch out for Zona. I agree with that. They're a great team. I need to watch more of Marquette because I saw them once and they look good. But I got notes on all my teams, but not like, a lot on them.
I have to work tomorrow, but like I'm just gonna have like I have like a couple monitors at work. I'm probably gonna put it on the smaller one and just have like all the games I can have on there and just have it going like all day. Like this is like the prime time you want to do your research, like this weekend. Right before, I mean, and I know that's like obvious to say, but like this is when you really see like, okay, who can possibly either go all the way or who's going to have like one of the best runs.
Yeah.
So.
It is really hard to predict like an 8 seed going far.
It happens though.
It does happen.
It does happen.
You got to just look at like, just like the dicey teams, like the teams that like put up a bunch of threes, they really go for rebounds, like. Teams like that, like you can't really look at advanced stats or something to see what team makes. I mean, maybe I don't really know for sure, but I think you just have to look at a team with an eye test. You see that they got a, you know, kind of not an easy schedule, of course, because it's March Madness, but a favorable schedule, and just find an 8 seed or a 10 seed that you like and pick them going to the Sweet 16. Have some fun with it.
I haven't done much research on them this season, but San Diego State, they're usually a team I like will pick.
Yeah.
I've gotten burned on them several times. I don't think I'm going to pick them to go very far, but looks like they're going to be maybe like a 6 or 7 seed in this. So, I mean, I need to research them this weekend and see how they're in the Mountain West Conference. I feel like that's so random for
that
them.
It is pretty, yeah, they're with like Boise State and Wyoming.
Yeah, a little, which is so weird because they're in California.
It is weird how it ends up playing out like that. Let's see. Just looking through. Miami's a pretty solid team. They got a couple of rounds last year. They largely brought back the same roster. I don't know. UCLA, Andy Katz, who's like the guy, said UCLA is going to win it all. So, but he's always wrong. He's really good at predicting everything, but
like the winner.
The winner never gets it right. But
uh-oh, he might have a curse.
I hope not. He didn't say it in his like official bracket. He was just like, I'm saying it, UCLA. And listen, you go to advanced stats, as I said, adjusted defensive rating, UCLA is number 2. They're really good. But the teams that I really like, a couple kinds of teams that I like teams with a really strong defense, but they got a guy that can go out there and score. They got one or two just like that guy on their team that can just like go out there and score in prime time.
Yeah.
That's why Bama's so good. They got Brandon Miller, who's a great I shouldn't say shooter, but he really is. He is really good. And they have a top 5 defense. They can go out there and just score. Same thing with Houston. They don't – watching Houston might win it. I was watching Houston, and they reminded me so much of, like, playing AAU basketball in, like, 7th grade. And, like, they say that kid you're playing is in 7th grade, but he's, like, 6'2 and dunking. It's a true story. Like, stuff like that would happen all the time. And that's just what Houston reminded me of. Just watching them, they just remind me of, like, an AAU team that's, like, 13 or they're 16, they're telling everybody they're 13. They're just so dominant. But also, be wary. I feel like every year there's always that one team that is really talented. Like, their players are all talented, they got a lot of good players, but then when you watch them play, they don't really play like a team. And all the analysts say, well, they got this player and this player and this player, and they're going to go far. Then they always get upset pretty early. You got to look out for that team. I don't know what team it is now. Well, I got to do
– every year there's always that, like in the first round, there's somebody that gets like knocked out by like a 10 seed or something.
And they're always really talented, but they don't play like a team. Last year it was Auburn. They had those three – they got – they exited in like the second or Sweet 16 round. Year before that, everybody said Illinois was winning it.
Got eliminated like the first
– Second round to Loyola. So there's always – I'm just saying also, not the COVID year but the year before that, Duke, Sweet 16. I'm telling you – you remember that was a Zion and RJ Barrett? I'm telling you, there's always a team that's always one of the favorites to win. They're immensely talented. They don't play like a team. They get burnt in the second or third round. I hope to find that team. I am really on the lookout. It's typically a team that doesn't have great defensive rating. They just score like crazy.
I don't think it's going to be Houston.
I don't think it is either.
I don't think it's going to be UCLA.
Look out for so if you go into advanced stats, look out for teams that like adjusted offense, and then there you go to adjusted defense, and they're nowhere to be found.
Like, they just don't play defense.
Because those – yeah, these kind of teams, since they're super talented, you know, they're typically kind of like – remember the Chiefs last year or, like, Drew Brees and the Saints, where they would just put up, like, 30 points a game.
Like, every game.
Yeah. Yeah. But they had no defense, so you just had to, like – they just had to outscore everybody without playing any defense. That's how these teams go. And it works in the regular season and when you're playing, you know, your conference – games, but then once you're in the tournament, you're in the second, third round, it doesn't really fly anymore. You got to have a solid defense.
Well, especially too when a lot of these games, like there's not much rest time. There's only like a day or two, and then like you got to play another game.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't really be doing that too often. And like the schools you're playing against, like especially these lower seeds, this is like their super, like this is like their like biggest game that they're ever going to play. Like especially like the low
for
seeds.
Guys, yeah.
Like they're going to play hard. Like, They're not going to take it easy on you.
That's probably my
favorite thing every year is like seeing some of these lower seeds just knock out some of these big schools.
Yeah.
Like that's probably like the best thing.
Yeah. Just, and it'll happen this year. I always say, you know, stay away from picking a two losing to a 15 seed. Because honestly, it might happen.
It's rare.
But the first round does not – just a refresher. The point system when you're picking your bracket, points double each round. So first round is worth 1 point, then two, then four. So like if you get the championship game right, it's like 32 points. And that's that 1 year I won because I picked the final four and the thing right. That's like – that's a crazy amount of points. So
yeah, and we'll be doing a bracket. I think I'll post it probably Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then when we do our show next week, we can share the link if anybody wants to join. It's just for fun if you guys want to compete against me and Sonny. But yeah, like it's crazy. Like what, like for me, like when I see these like random schools like Colgate or like, they're not random, I guess, to like people that go there, but like to us, like we don't really hear these schools very often other than this tournament. Cause like, you know, like all these little schools, like a lot of them don't have football programs or like any other, they just have a basketball program. And like, that's kind of like their like claim to fame or they're just like what they're known for. I'm sure they're great schools, but like most of these schools I only hear about during this tournament. Mm. Like there's just so many colleges. It's like, it's nuts.
Yeah. But yeah, to my point, it's cool to get the 14 over three seed, but it's not worth it because that three seed could easily go to the Elite Eight and then you miss out on all those points.
Yeah. So you're saying play it safe on at least the first round.
In the first round, yeah, don't pick any 1-2-3s really, unless you have a strong conviction. I mean, maybe there's exceptions. You know, Tennessee, they're missing their best player. Maybe they're playing a 14 seed or something that you really like or something, or a 4-13 seed, you know, then go for it. But I'd say mostly don't bet on it.
Okay. So yeah, also another reminder, and just kind of tying to what you're saying, check injuries on all the games coming, like from all the games coming up. Cause if players do get injured from this weekend of games, I mean, whether it be a serious or non-serious injury, that will definitely factor in or could factor in how they play for March Madness. So, yeah. Like, I mean, what was it? The Suns game right now, like, Durant, like, fell down while doing a layup, like a warm-up layup.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, he just, and then he didn't
play. He tripped, and he's out tonight.
So.
That doesn't, granted, it is pretty rare, I feel like, in March Madness from my couple of years of following it, where, like, a big player goes out. And, like, you know, Zakai Ziegler, wow, what a name. I mean, he tore his ACL, but I feel like a lot of these young guys don't like miss this biggest game of their life because like, oh man, I rolled my ankle. I tripped in warmups. Yeah. I can't play. Like that's, I feel like there's never too major of an injury going into March Madness. So, but yes, look out for it. Cause you don't want to, you know,
you definitely want to be aware of any injuries or anyone that does kind of get injured. Even if they play, you still want to know like what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
All right. Any other schools you want to kind of plug or do you want to kind of just put on the map for people to know?
Let's see. I don't want to pick any. I don't want to say like any one seeds because everybody already, you know, of course, Kansas is good and whatnot.
When filling out your bracket, like I like to do this too. Like I don't know why I have like a tie to this school. I didn't go to this school. I know no one that went to this school. But for me, like San Diego State, UCLA, those are two schools that I always pick to go somewhat far. Like, I don't know why, maybe because
now
we're local.
Now it's warranted.
Maybe because we're local? Like, I don't know. But, I don't know. Like, have fun with it. Like, pick your favorites or pick the school you went to or you're going to go to or, you know, even just a school you like. Like, just pick your favorite team. Pick your favorite school. Like,
yeah, Fullerton's winning it.
It's they're playing the Rainbow Warriors tomorrow.
The Rainbow Warriors?
Do you know where they're from?
No.
Hawaii. Oh, they're playing Hawaii.
What
yeah.
a nice. Wow. Okay.
I think they have to win tomorrow, and like I think UC Santa Barbara has to like lose, and like there's
some
like
crazy,
like something crazy has to happen
just so they can like get beat by Houston the first round.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's cool when they get in. You know what? Maryland's a pretty solid team. They're in the Big Ten. See how they do in the tournament.
They lost to Ohio State
tonight. Wisconsin. Right.
Wait, was it Wisconsin?
That was Wisconsin.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, Maryland's got some big wins. I'm looking at the like games tomorrow.
Yeah, what are the – okay, so UCLA's playing tomorrow. What other games do we have going on?
So there? Tomorrow, I guess for you guys, all these games going on starting at 9 a.m. Oh, I'm excited. Gosh, I can't believe tomorrow's Thursday. This week went by so fast. Like just like me looking at like games I wanted to watch. ACC tournament second round tomorrow. Rutgers and Michigan, that should be a game to watch. Michigan, Rutgers are both pretty solid teams that might, you know, maybe pull off an upset as an 11 seed.
Wake Forest at Miami.
Oh, that's
that
a good,
might be a good game.
Yeah. All of these are neutral locations, so there's no like.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Iowa State and Baylor. Iowa State's a pretty solid team. Baylor's got a great committee of guards. Providence and UConn.
Oh,
I think that's
an 11:30 game.
Gosh,
okay.
The Big East is so good this year. They really are. Villanova's always good. They kind of suck this year despite winning tonight. I think they beat like Georgetown, big whoop. UConn, I love UConn. Providence is also really, really good. It just sucks that one of these teams has to go so early, but the Big East is so, Xavier is really good. Marquette is great. Creighton is good. I mean, they're just, look out. UConn, Duke, and Pitt tomorrow. Pitt's a pretty solid team. That's also at 11:30 as with Providence and UConn.
This is like insane. Like there's so many games. Like
this is like full swing of like tournament or champion week or whatever they call
it. Okay, this is like I'm not going to be able to watch all these, but I'll have at least a few of these games on throughout the day.
Yeah. Colorado UCLA of course.
12.
UCLA should win that, but you know, keep an eye out. West Virginia versus Kansas.
I'll probably be looking at Colorado State versus San Diego State.
Oh, yep. That's the Mountain West quarterfinal. A little later in the day, let's see. Cal State Fullerton playing Hawaii at 2:30.
Rainbow Warriors.
I think Illinois and Penn State could be a pretty good game for the Big Ten second round at 3:30. Texas plays tomorrow at 4 against Oklahoma State. North Carolina, if you're following North Carolina for them to, you know, sort of make it into the tournament, it's really kind of a long shot, but they need to win tomorrow. They're playing the 13-ranked Virginia, which they just beat like a week ago. So maybe. Arkansas-Auburn's a pretty solid game. Arizona should beat up on Stanford. Just looking later in the day. Oh, TCU, Kansas State, 6:30 tomorrow.
Okay.
Look out.
I'm definitely watching that.
Let's
see. I feel bad. My wife's going to want to watch a show tomorrow, and I'm going to be like, sorry, I can't. I need the TV, I need the tablet, and I need the laptop, like, all going.
Okay. NC State, Clemson for the ACC quarterfinal.
Really quick, I'm looking at USC. It says to be determined tomorrow.
I think there's still a Pac-12 game going on.
Oh, from tonight?
Yeah, going on like right. Oh, yeah. Oregon State versus Arizona State starts.
So they play the winner of that then?
8:50. Oh, it starts right now, yeah. So
wait, 8:50 start time?
It says 8:55. It's 8:56.
Where are they playing? They're playing this in the West Coast?
I think so. I hope they're not. Oh, T-Mobile. They're playing in Vegas, yeah.
That's a late game.
Yeah, I've seen some TikToks of guys that are like, this game is amazing, but it's going on at 2 in the morning. Like,
oh, my God. If you're East Coast
and
trying to watch – so if this is an 8 – so this is a 11:55 start
time?
Game
starts at midnight. That's nuts.
Like, what are you –
it might get a little better after the hour change on Sunday or something like that. But or no, they'll just make them –
I mean,
at the same time.
Yeah, that's insane.
Okay, well, we got a game to go home to tonight. It just started.
Thank God we're on the West Coast.
For
there's no way I could watch any of these games.
Yeah, so Saturday and Sunday are going to be like the tournament or the championship games for so like Sunday, right? Sunday's a loaded day. We got at 10 a.m. the SEC tournament final starts. Then at 12:15, that's not a relevant division. Then at 12:30, the Big Ten tournament champion starts. The Big 12 is in here somewhere. Something maybe they finish up. And then we got Selection Sunday. And then we got the Oscars.
Yeah.
And we'll go over the Oscars next week. You know, a lot of March Madness.
Yeah, today. We'll save it. Like, I think we kind of went over some of our picks already. But if you are making any bets on there, or if you're in like a little pool with your friends for Best Picture, Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's going to win like 10 Oscars. Just pick it.
I hope it does.
Pick it in like every category it's in. I've watched, so I don't know if I told you this, I've watched all of the Oscar nominated movies.
Wow.
It took me a while.
The grind.
The last two that I saw were Tar, Women Talking, and what was it? There's a third one.
Tar, Women Talking, The Banshees.
The Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, I know you love that one.
It was such a mid movie that I was like, this is nominated. Just like a week. To me, it was a weak offering. Like, it's a fine movie. It's not great. It's just,
I still want to watch it. I saw some movies this
week. Watch it. It's just good. It's not.
Triangle of Sadness. That's.
It's like, yeah. Okay, I'm not like crapping on McDonald's, but it's like going to McDonald's. Like, McDonald's isn't like the best burger you've ever had, but it's also like not bad.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine fast food. I like McDonald's. I don't eat it a lot, but when I do, I'm like, I want a Big Mac. Yeah, I want whatever.
You know, their apple pie is good.
Like, there's a few, you know, exactly. Like, it's not bad food. It's not a bad movie. Go see it, but it's not, you're going to forget about it.
Why is it, you know, why are they putting it up there with In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A?
That's what I'm saying.
How is Avatar, you think, will win something?
They'll win something for visuals and like all
that. I think
that.
Batman's nominated for like best visual effects or something like that. So
it might be, but I feel like if you're betting on it or if you're doing like a fun pull with your friends,
do Avatar.
Like that. Yeah, that was a lot of visuals.
Well, we've got a loaded weekend.
Yeah. Oh, really quick. I guess we should go over it. So they announced some of the cast for the new Daredevil show.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can pull. Okay, so we got Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, aka Daredevil. It looks like Vincent D'Onofrio, who is Kingpin, will be back, and John Bernthal will be back as the Punisher, who was pretty good in the series. I was kind of bummed to find out that the two supporting characters, I think it's Karen Page and Foggy, they will not be back in this.
Oh.
So I don't know if they're going to recast them or if they're just going to like not have them as characters in this storyline or what they're doing. But it's like weird because like when we first got Daredevil, it was brought by Netflix and it was like Netflix and Marvel like partnering up. Since then, Marvel has now been bought by Disney. Disney owns them and now they're trying to do like their own thing.
Yeah.
So maybe because these were Netflix characters, they're just like, we're going to cut some of these and keep the main ones, and Disney's going to make it their own thing, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked about it. I'm trying to think. Is there – I forgot to write it down. There was like another show that we were going to talk about. Or another movie that we were going to talk about. I'm blanking out on it.
Was it something that I saw or that you saw or was it just coming out soon?
Might be something that you saw. What did you see this past week?
I saw two movies this week. I saw two pretty old movies. The first one I saw was Bicycle Thieves.
Oh, I've not even heard of that one.
A black and white movie in Italian. It's like in Italy, and it came out in 1948. And it's something that I think a lot of like film students like just adore or something. It's a pretty solid movie. You have to read the subtitles, of course. It's a pretty simple movie. You know, there's a dad of a family in Italy. He's looking for work in Rome. Nobody can get a job. He finally lands a job. He's hanging up posters around town. He needs his bike for it. Bicycle thieves, gets his bike stolen. Him and his little son, Bruno, set out to find the thief and get his bike back. Pretty good movie. I don't know if it gets a 99. It does have like a really good like full circle kind of at the end of it, but it pretty solid. Then last night I saw Butch Cassidy in The Sundance Kid. Have you seen that movie?
Not in a while.
Anybody that I talk to that is around my dad's age, Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid is like their favorite movie. Came out 1968, 69. I bet you it's like a 90 on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's Paul Newman and Robert Redford. It's a Western, about 2 hours long.
89 on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, very I'm close. On it. Very I close. Might be a little higher in my opinion, I think. It's a really, really good – I loved it. It's, you know, Paul Newman, Robert Redford are, you know, they're bank robbers and they do heists on trains and all that. It's a fun, pretty fun Western. I was pretty – I mean, I thought it was really good. So I saw those. Those are nothing new, of course.
You know who's like randomly in that movie? I'm only – seen it because it's on my screen, but Sam Elliott is like a random like card player.
Oh yeah,
he's just in there.
Oh, he might be that. There's a card player at the very beginning of the movie that might be him.
He's listed as card player number two. Oh, yeah. And it's so random because like he's had such a big career, and for him just to be a random like player in this is like
the dude or something like that. Yeah, and
everybody knows him because of his mustache, and he's just like got this deep like very like southern
like just
cowboy kind of accent,
timber voice. Yeah, I wish I could do an impression, you know. He's in The Big Lebowski.
I mean, he's in like he's in a million things. But
Oh, yeah, Tombstone, that's Kalen's dad.
What's the movie with Lady Gaga? He was just in a few
years
ago.
A Star is Born. Oh, my God. I haven't seen that movie, but...
You haven't?
No, when it came out, my mom would put the singing scene over, like when it was being nominated. She's like, oh, it's so amazing. She's like crying, and I was like, what? I could not care less. I'm sorry.
It's funny you say that because my mother-in-law, love her.
Yeah.
Like, that's her favorite part of the movie, too. She went and saw this movie, like, three times
in
theater, and she would cry every single time she saw this movie.
Listen, this movie came out 5 years ago. I was 11 years old, and she is putting, you know, Lady Gaga and who else is in this?
Bradley Cooper.
They're singing or something, and she just keeps – it ends, and then it just starts. She starts again.
Oh, like she just restarts the whole
scene. She just kept – and I was like, ugh. Like, I don't care.
The one thing about this movie – I mean, it's a fine movie, and it's not my favorite, but the one thing that they do really well that I wish other movies that focus on, like, singers or artists or, like, any musician
– yeah.
They do – this movie does a really good job of showing you, like – it makes you feel like you're at a concert. Like, you know how some movies, like – they did this in Elvis, like, where they just jumped around a lot and they, like, did, like, a montage of, like, different shows. This one, like, you – it's like you're in the audience and you stay for a song or two.
Yeah.
Like, they play – like, the songs are really long.
Or, like, Bohemian Rhapsody, I feel like, did it pretty well.
It did it well, but this movie, I think, does it better – a little better. But, like, kind of like that vibe. Like, they let you
– I like that.
They let you enjoy the scene a little bit, and it's not so like, okay, cool, now we're going to cut you from this and take you over here. It's like, no, like let us just kind of chill in this like stage.
I like, you know, letting like talented people, actors, singers, whatnot, sort of like let us sit, marinate in the scene.
Yeah, like don't rush or don't cut to the next scene. Like let us stay in here for a bit. But anyway, Bradley Cooper does actually sing in that movie. So
does Sam Elliott sing?
No.
Oh,
but he's,
that would be great.
I think he's like the brother or he's like the manager for Bradley Cooper. Anyway, it's a really sad story. But
I didn't even realize he was in this movie.
Bradley Cooper?
No, Sam Elliott. I didn't realize he was in the...
He's like a side character, but he's definitely in it. He has a few scenes.
Wow. Could you imagine, honestly, so many people like sort of made their career, even like just off of having a great, deep timber voice. Like that's, there you go.
Like a classic kind of like...
You read audiobooks, you know... Like, that's just what you do.
I mean, look at Dawson. Like, Dawson does, like, he does the intro for your dad's show. He does audiobooks. He does, like, all kinds of, like, different things with his voice. I remember, like, before I ever worked here, I was, like, driving, and, like, I heard an Allstate commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know when they read that legal stuff at the end?
Yeah.
It was Dawson reading it, and I was like, what the hell? Like, this is Dawson from the Adam Carolla Show. Like, this is so weird.
There you go.
I never asked him about that, but I was like, he's probably forgotten about it. But like, I don't know. Like, I just randomly heard him doing a like Allstate or some kind of insurance commercial on the radio.
That's such an interesting. You know, he told me, I asked him when we went to Alaska. I sort of was like, do you think your voice is so deep because you smoke a lot?
Well, it's helping.
And he said no. And he said that him, he had this, I don't know if this is like personal information. I don't think it is. He said he had this like a when he was around my age, maybe a little older, he had like a procedure done or something like in his throat. And they part of it is where they leave a tube sort of hanging on his vocal cords.
Interesting.
And then after that, his voice got a lot deeper. And then as he grew older, it got deeper and deeper. And he said he knew a girl that had the same procedure, and then her voice got deeper too after that.
Whoa, okay.
So I don't know what it was, but I think that's really interesting that he had – I'm sure he already had a deep voice, but
yeah.
I'm sure that like brought it out a little bit more.
Probably, yeah. Interesting. But yeah, if you have like a nice, clear, deep kind of voice
– yeah.
You'll go far.
It's
great for showbiz. It's great for radio. It's great for podcasting.
I'm glad that people with deep voices have sort of like made a profession for themselves, because a lot of them, like I've seen like on the internet, like they can't sing. Dudes with really deep voices.
Yeah, yeah.
Like now they got their own little like thing going on.
Yeah,
so
there's a place for everybody.
There you go.
I can't think of what the movie I was trying to find, but.
New TV show. I'm just trying to think.
We got the Super Mario movie coming out in a couple or next month, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
I have very low expectations. We haven't really talked about it on the show, but my expectations are pretty low. Like, I'm very cautious when it comes to like video game movies. Going into a movie. Like, it's just, it doesn't always
like
work.
Like, the Mortal Kombat movie was a.
Yeah. It was fun. It was like. I think I'm a little different because, like, I grew up with, like, the old games on, like, Super Nintendo and, like, just this was, like – like, I probably shouldn't have been playing these, like, violent games as a kid, but it was, like, my parents didn't care. They just, like, whatever.
Wasn't there – I feel like there was one video game movie that came out that was pretty good.
Sonic was good. I saw the first one.
But it was something out. There was some
– Jumanji? It's not a video game, but it's, like
– It's sort of – no, there was something based off a video
not
game.
Not Battleship.
No.
That was terrible.
That has Rihanna in it, right? I feel like we've talked about this.
Probably.
I can't remember. Pixels, that was pretty bad.
Kind of like based off video games, but not a real video game. But it might be now, though. Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
That was based off several video games.
It was a good movie.
Great movie the way they did it. Your dad was in it.
My dad was in it.
He was a donut?
That's how a lot of – it's weird because I was hanging out – my cousin lives in Chicago. He's like – what is he, like 22? Like him and all his friends. And they'd be like, his dad is the voice of Death and Family Guy. They're like, cool. And then he's like, no. He's the donut in Wreck-It Ralph. And they're all like, oh.
They know – wait, but he
– they know that.
He has more lines than Family Guy, though.
He really does. He has like his whole like episode – I think one of them.
I think he's in a couple, actually.
He is in a couple episodes, yeah. But he's got one episode where he's like kind of a main character.
Oh, okay.
And then the other one is the taxi at something, the Haunted Hills of Waverly Place or something like that.
Oh,
and then you told me about this, which I forgot, but he was
– Oh, the Buzz Lightyear.
The Buzz Lightyear guy.
The commander dude, yeah.
And then finally in Skylanders – like video game of my time, in a commercial, he was the voice for Thumpback, the giant whale, in the commercial. I remember playing the video game as a character, and Mom's like, where's Dad's voice? That's just like whale noises. I was like, he's not in the video game. It would have been so much clout if he was, though. I could not. Third grade me would explode.
Oh, there was a trailer for a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think it's going to be directed by Seth Rogen.
What?
Yeah, it's super random, but that's coming out.
Oh, Creed 3, everybody said, is really good, and I want to watch it.
I want to watch it too, and I just rewatched Creed 2 to kind of refresh.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty decent movies.
I like the concepts of them. You know, he fights Drago's son. I remember before he made that, when Creed 1 came out, my dad talked with Sylvester Stallone. He's like, 2 is going to be about Drago.
Oh, he said it?
He said it. He called it. And then like 2 years later, the movie came out and it was good.
Yeah, I think Creed 2 was Stallone's last movie in that universe. Like, he's done being Rocky now.
Mm.
And he's kind of like passed the torch to Michael B. Jordan. So now this is like Michael B. Jordan's like story.
Yeah. Jonathan Majors is like all of a sudden in everything. Like I'm just seeing him in he's Kang. Yeah, he's in another movie.
He's blowing up right now.
Yeah,
sure.
like we're just seeing him like hit. He's a good actor. I mean, I like him and it makes sense. Like, he's like pretty big and jacked, so
yeah, Rotten Tomatoes, people, it's at 88% right now.
Yeah, a lot of people liked
it. People are really liking it. I shouldn't have looked at this. I was looking at the cast for Creed 3. There is quite a few names in here that I'm like actual boxing like people.
Oh, yeah. They had like Max Kellerman the first one.
They had him in the second one too.
Yeah.
It's funny because like I think it's cool when movies do that. Like when they bring in like actual broadcasters who are basically playing themselves in movies, and they're just like in this little like spot. And like I was explaining to my wife, and she's like, "Okay, so like she, I was
oh,
telling
Canelo's
her,
Canelo's
like,
in it,
yeah, Canelo's in it." I was like, "Oh, look, that's Max," and she's like, "Who?" And I'm like, "Oh, he's like a radio guy, like he's a TV guy," and she's like, "Oh, like why is that a big deal?" I'm like, "It's just cool. It's just cool that he's in it."
Yeah,
like he's a big boxing fan. I don't know if you know that.
Oh yeah, that's like his big thing.
That's like he's all about that.
My official prediction for the movie while we're on it, and I haven't seen it yet, so I've seen the trailer. Here's my official prediction.
Of how, like, just
of how the movie's going to go. Okay. In the trailer, Jonathan Majors is like talking to Creed's wife or something, and he's like, "We were like brothers back in the day," or something. But now they've got beef, I think. I think that's how the movie's going to go. I think in Creed 1, shows little Apollo Creed, or what is he, Apollo Creed Jr. or what?
Adonis Creed.
Adonis Creed. They show little Adonis Creed in juvie. Now, I think him and Jonathan Majors were like best friends in juvie or orphan home or whatever. And you know,
wait, he's not an orphan though. He has parents.
No, but like that's very beginning, he's like an orphan, and you know, he's in prison for fighting. So maybe as an orphan or in prison, him and Jonathan Majors were like best friends, and they sort of like ran juvie hall.
Got it.
I mean, they could probably whoop everybody in a fight. So I could see them running it, like them being best friends, and then Adonis Creed gets adopted by, you know, Apollo Creed's wife, like super rich. He goes to a mansion. He forgets all about Jonathan Majors. And then he's pissed because he feels like he's abandoned.
Oh.
And then so now they got beef. That's my prediction how it's going to go just from the trailer. But
if you don't want to hear a spoiler, click ahead. But I was looking at the cast. It's not really a spoiler. I'm just looking at the cast. You can do that. It's not giving anything away. All right, here we go. So the guy that played Victor Drago. Florian Montenu.
That guy.
He is listed in the cast for this movie. So not saying he's going to be the villain again, not saying that
I think he's just going to make an appearance.
He might make an appearance. He might be in a quick fight they show, or maybe he fights, you know, Jonathan Majors' character at some point.
Yeah. He's German, Romanian. I thought he was Russian. He looks pretty Russian.
I actually, in Creed 2, I actually like the montages they did where he's training and he's like working out, and then they show Adonis's like montage in the desert. Like, I love that.
It's like a callback to the 4, because like, you know, remember Drago's like in the high tech and he's in the mountains of Russia and he's training, whatever.
By the way, that's still like that old with that old montage.
Yeah.
It's still one of the best like Drago and Rocky, like that's still one of the best like fighting montages like out there. Like, I don't know why, but like the Rocky movies did that so well.
That they were inspiring.
Like, it makes you want to go like work out or go like lift weights or something, or go work out with them. Like, if I could, I'd be like, this is awesome. Like,
I know. And him like going on the mat, like going on the mountaintop and screaming Drago.
Like, I don't know. It makes you want to fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to try to see that maybe this weekend. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it.
Yeah,
it
I mean, like,
seems like a pretty good movie.
It's doing well. I want to support this because, like, I do like the Creed movies.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. We got a game going on right now.
Oh yeah, that started like 20 minutes ago. That's by how fast that went.
All right, Sonny. We will meet next week, maybe on Tuesday.
Selection Sunday. Oh yeah.
We'll go over our brackets. Yeah, we got a good few weeks coming up. And if we have time, we'll try to squeeze in just a little bit of Oscar recap from this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure we can.
We can do like 5-10 minutes max on and just kind of go through them. But
John Morant news is out again.
God.
I hope not.
Or Joe Mixon news.
Ugh.
Guys are idiots.
I hate these guys.
All right. Sonny, what's this all been?
Just a waste of my time.
And so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.